Joan Jett. You remember Joan Jett, and you remember her music, I'm quite sure. She is the subject of another of the films, which is at the Sydney Film Festival at the moment, and we're going to talk to the director of this one too. He's Kevin Kerslake. The film is called Bad Reputation, and I think first we should hear from Joan Jett herself.
About 17, he was going strong, playing my favorite song, and I could tell it wouldn't be long that he was with me, yeah, me, and I could tell it wouldn't be long that he was with me, yeah, me.
I Love Rock and Roll was a very big hit for Joan Jett and the Blackhearts in 1982. It was 8 weeks at number one in the United States. And Joan Jett, as I've said, is the subject of this film by Kevin Kerslake. And Kevin joins me from California on Skype. Kevin, you've made such a lot of music videos in over, more than 20 years. And I wonder what drew you to this particular project.
You know, Joan is, she's such a hero as a rock and roller, but I think that, she's cut such an amazing path as a woman. And obviously I've worked with a lot of guys, a lot of bands that have, that are, you know, male. and, you know, that's one thing, but I think that when you throw that extra heap of adversity into the picture, you know, it's a really interesting subject as in terms of, you know, pulling in a lot of the cultural and socio-political sort of obstacles that she faced, which she blew through. Not necessarily that she sort of set out to be a feminist, but she just ended up being one by just doing what she wanted to do.
Can't stay at home.
Before the Blackhearts, of course, there was the Runaways, and we should probably talk about them because this is a woman, Joan Jett, who's been told to her face that girls don't play rock and roll. But somebody says in your film that, you know, this is the 1970s, and if men are going to wear makeup and glitter, maybe this is the point at which women can do straight ahead rock and roll.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like because that era was, you know, most of the women were known for just being acoustic. Sort of folk singers, you know, Joni Mitchell and Joan Baez. And of course, there were other female rockers like Janis and a few others. But I think that Joan set out early on. I mean, she was just a teen, like 13 years old, when she wanted to start her all-girl band. And so she found four more girls that thought alike. And ironically enough, they needed a man to actually sort of circle the wagons for them and do all the deals and put them in the studio and all that stuff. But I think that it's a funny thing. Like she's boys, you know, pick up a glove or, you know, start kicking a soccer ball around or what have you. And all these girls were just like, it's guitar, you know, it's bass, it's drums. It was just a natural thing for them to do.
But Kim Fowley, the manager, did more than just make bookings for them. He was the one who took them to see A Clockwork Orange and said, you should be like that.
Yes. Yeah. He was very responsible for their aesthetic. He co-wrote songs with Joan in the studio and then, you know, sort of trained them for, you know, what they might be expecting out in the world by throwing, if they'd be rehearsing in the studios and he'd be hurling insults at them and throwing wrappers and sort of plastic bottles, things like that, you know, lightweight stuff, just to train them for what they might be facing out in the world, I guess, as their sort of boot camp. The aesthetic also at that point, you know, there's a quote in the film that's attributed to Jimi Hendrix, which is that when girls want to play rock and roll, you know, they're going to be considered as aliens in our world. And the Runaways considered themselves version 1.0 for that.
Yeah, and they were successful to a point, but not particularly in the United States. That success came later when Joan is standing in front of a group of men.
Yes, they were young too. So there were teenage girls, you know, running riot and singing about things that other teenagers really didn't think about or sing about. So they were pretty challenging, and the music that they made was pretty raw, still commercial in a way, but it was gonna take some effort for them to find an audience. And by the time that they were really mature enough, I think, to sort of cultivate that sort of broader success, the band was already starting to splinter. The teenage girls were becoming adults and everybody was sort of going in different directions.
But I Love Rock and Roll was an enormous hit for Joan Jett and her new band, the Blackhearts. And suddenly she was international. Was she ready for this by now? She'd had quite a training.
Yeah, the Runaways had actually traveled quite a bit internationally. And they'd had a great success in Europe and also in Japan. And I think that it's no secret that European audiences, especially UK audiences, are a step ahead in taste of their American counterparts. And I think that the one thing that struck in Japan was that women were really considered second-class citizens in that culture. So it tapped into a different streak. So all those girls were really going crazy just because they were an embodiment of something that they were able to do what their culture would never let them do. But I think that Joan's experience throughout that, wild crowds and, sold out arenas and all that stuff, I think that early on she gained this composure in terms of how she dealt with fame, how she performed live in front of tens of thousands of people. And I think all of that maturity, which was earned so early, served her really well as she went into the Black Art era.
You're listening to The Music Show on RN. I'm talking to Kevin Kerslake, who's the director of Bad Reputation, a new documentary about Joan Jett. Joan Jett, of course, becomes a very important figure, a hero, really, for the Riot Girl movement and for, I suppose, a lot of women from the 90s on. I mean, she continues to be an important figure. Do you think that, in a sense, I suppose what I'm interested in is to what extent this is her story? This is an authorized biography. Is this the Joan Jett she wants to present to the world?
She was obviously involved because we interviewed her quite a bit, but they didn't dictate any of the conditions of the film. It was an independent film. There was a level of control that we enjoyed as filmmakers that didn't, have to turn this into a marketing exercise. And I've done a lot of videos or films for bands that were financed by their labels or their management company. And you run into all sorts of concerns, in terms of who they want in their film or who they don't want in their film and what sort of front they have to put up. And we didn't really have to deal with any of that. Joan's really honest. She's just a straightforward rock and roller. So she doesn't have to get cagey with the words or her identity or anything like that. So it was free reign.
You must have considered including the rape allegations against Kim Fowley, who's said to have raped the bassist of the Runaways, Jackie Fuchs. And I wonder why you left that out in the end.
We explored that actually in depth, the allegations, and found actually that there are so many different versions to that story. And because the principal people are dead, you get into this thing where you're talking about something that's unfounded. You're making unsubstantiated allegations when there are a lot of contradictions. There's a lot of evidence that diminishes the validity, I guess, of some of the accusations. And we had really tried to explore that and ask the people who were part of that scenario. And they just chose not to talk about it. So we couldn't really go any further with it.
The film's called Bad Reputation, and I think it's fair to say that Joan Jett really these days has a very good reputation, including for activism on behalf of animals and the environment. She's almost an establishment figure. Do we need films like this to remind us that once upon a time she wasn't?
Absolutely. She's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and she has a certain pedigree, I guess, is what you call it. But I think that Joan is still a rebel at heart, and she still makes badass music and you know, likes to give the finger to authority and people who are responsible for all sorts of injustices. So I think that rebel streak, actually, the fact that it's quite often that is assimilated into mainstream culture and its force is blunted. But I think Joan's been very savvy about keeping that edge and maintaining her effectiveness, you know, and musically, but also just as a cultural figure working for human rights, animal rights, different working against injustices of various sort. And you need that streak that challenges, and that bravery, actually, that is willing to go up against establishment figures and movements with a little piss and vinegar.
Joan Jett, I Love Rock and Roll. And the film Bad Reputation screens at the Sydney Film Festival again on Sunday week, the 17th of June.